Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all, and welcome to Exploring Ekphrasis with Captain B2 and Dan Deschino. And let's take attendance. Dan, are you here? Dead silence. Uh-oh. Not good. Dan, are you mutating? Hello? Oh, well. Okay. All right. Anyway.
Hi, Bobby. He's not here.
He isn't. How dare he? this evening's show is one of many shows that are sponsored by the group called Late Night Poets. They're on most every evening with a wonderful selection of different themes and different kinds of poetry and people reading wonderful pieces. Gray, since you have sounded off, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And we do have one caller. This is area code 111, and I believe it's Naomi.
Oh, good. Goody, please, let her
hey,
in.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, it is Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, you can hear me. Okay, good. A little bit of technical difficulties tonight. My computer wasn't working, so I'm on my headphones. I was actually on like 10 minutes ago, and you guys were like, hello, Dan. I'm like, hello, what's happening? So I'm glad we're here now working. So, yes, I was actually here on time, but just seemed like only in spirit, not in body, I guess.
I was going to say you're usually the one that opens the door and lets everyone else in. I almost was delayed because I was dozing at the kitchen table.
a few technical difficulties, but hey, you know, we are here. It's great to be here tonight. And we got, I think, besides Gray, is Lou on as well, too? I don't know if I might have missed that. I don't know if she's on or not. I heard she might.
No, she was supposed to have the studio for the first half of the show, but she's having a monsoon and has no power.
Oh, wow.
That'll slow you down.
Yeah, those monsoons. Well, I will think her some good thoughts then, absolutely.
Definitely.
But I think we should get cranking here, you know why? Because we got a lot going on tonight. We have a couple of poems from the last show, and then we have a whole bunch of poems from this show, and very interesting. We have four SoundClouds. And not only that, but also it looks like a bunch of the poets the first time not only to our show, but some of them from talking to them seem to be the first time on any show. So this is a very exciting show. And we got a lot of poems. We got so much going on here. So I think we should kind of jump right in. And, oh, a very special first poem for the show, which I think, Bobby, when we get to that, I'll let you talk about that. We get a very special poem for the very first one. But
oh yeah, yeah.
And I also want to say, as usual, I want to say hi to my son, who I think is listening, and possibly Aisha Jarrett, who works for me, who just signed up for All Poetry a couple days ago and just was invited to Late Night Poets today, and she actually might be listening as well, too. We got so much stuff going on today, Bobby. We are very popular and very rolling, I'm telling you.
And our contest filled up. We talked you up, so we got what's going on tonight.
Everything's happening. So I think we should just get cranking here because we got a lot to do. So what I was going to do is, go ahead.
Let's
let it rip. Bobby, I can give you the honors if you like. What I'm going to do is post.
Okay.
Ooh, Lou is on. Lou's on the board. Lou, I hope you're okay if you're listening.
On the board.
She's on the board. I hope everything's all right. So I have posted one from last week, the first one, which is Void Body Lump Mouth by Saint Ghost. And I'd always like to give you the honors. Ladies first, Captain, if you would like to read that one.
Age before beauty, okay?
There you go. That's right.
Okay. This is one of our curios from the Fernando Botero. So we have two of those in this first one. Void body, lump mouth. We gather like a flock of fat, bloated ravens outside, next to the overflowing ashtray where we sit in a circle and compare our bloated bellies. This one was done by olazepine. This one was formed by quintinopine, while this one was shaped by promethazine, the shaky hands courtesy of paraloxetine. I inspect my plump curves in the dirt-speckled windows of the hospital entrance, evaluating my body like pounds of fresh meat, comparing the roundness to another time in my life where there was nothing on my bones except for a great emptiness, so great it swallowed hungry calories and candy crisp ache, where mountains of yesterday replaced breakfast, lunch, and white chocolate dinner. Now, in the stained glass, I see a void stuffed to the brim with chemicals and longing turned into lumps of stretched skin and pale tissue. I think about the fact that I simply cannot fit myself into life. I either get too big for myself or birthday cake, nothingness.
Wow, great read. Yeah, this is really, really interesting. I mean, what I'm getting out of this is just the differences of life of different. I mean, I can have, I think we could talk a lot about this, but it just seems like either somebody that was, really hurting, or maybe possibly even a drug user, and now is, the fat, the stereotypical, fat, happy kind of lifestyle. But, bodies go through so much change throughout your life. Really, really interesting write and fantastic read, Bobby. I think Lou might actually be here unless tornadoes aren't taking her away. You are here. Excellent.
Hi, Bobby.
Okay.
Hi, Gray. Thank you, Gray.
Right.
You know, for me, this was extremely sad because this paragraph reminded me of the injuries and the accident that she got into where she was impaled with her hip and was told that she could possibly never carry a child. And then she had polio when she was young, so she had one leg smaller than the other. And, I can't imagine the amount of medication because they thought she was going to die. They thought she was going to bleed out. And, people tend to judge you by your appearance. You know, they judge you by how you walk, how big your legs are, how tall you are, how large you are, how small you are. You know, without ever thinking what, you know, you don't know what's gone on in somebody's life. You know, and just to be stuck in the hospital this entire time, and then to have her father bring her in some artwork so that she could draw while she was there. And, you know, I learned a lot. She painted herself. She painted her pain. She loved animals, and she loved colors. And, you know, this the issues that you have to deal with when you have a sickness you can't do anything about.
Wow, an amazing comment. I didn't know all that backstory. That's amazing. It is very true. You know, you really, I mean, we tend to judge people within, you know, seconds, especially in this day and age. You know, you throw something up on any social media or anything you put in, and people judge you forever for it. You know, people either. You know, a lot of people scared to actually speak their mind. They want to just follow the crowd instead. So it's very interesting. Ray, what are your thoughts?
You know, you had a fabulous comment, do you? But I think you're commenting on the artist in the next contest, because this is a carryover from last week.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't know that, but it's still same old, you know.
Artists,
you know, you never know what somebody's suffering.
His amazing part about what she commented, actually, I thought fit into this poem perfectly.
It was a great comment, but, I know that's the background of the artist for this next coming contest.
But, congratulations, Blue, for the ultimate segue.
Right. But no, you know, it was a heart-wrenching story on the subject of living with an eating disorder. You know, I mean, I can't imagine the pain that people suffer, you know, being underweight or overweight in this world because you are judged by how you appear. And, so just a haunting story with a fabulous read, Bobby.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Thank you. Bobby, what you got to read it?
I agree with Lewis. Very sad. And you're right. What you said. And we the operative word being we judge. And it's so sad that we do that, because all have our stories. Like Lou said, you don't know what's going on in someone's life. And in this case, it seems like the writer has experienced the pendulum swing from one side to the other, from being lean in the extreme to corpulent because of medication, and not really being able to find any kind of happy medium. And the trouble is, and I think the saddest thing is, we judge ourselves. And we tend to project. And so this is sad. I said, I am either too big for myself, or I'm swallowed in the cracks of birthday cake nothingness. What that phrase, birthday cake nothingness, that is a real that's visceral. That is so impactful. I think this is a great piece. And honestly, Lou, I think your comment, even though we've got a blend of the next show, I really do think it was very apropos. So well done. It's the ultimate segue.
Sorry about that.
Panicking. Oh, no, you're fine. Okay, who's next?
Cool. We have our last carryover from last week. And Lou, I'm going to take advantage that you are here and your power is still here, and see if you would read this one for us.
Okay. These aren't the reasons I love you. And this was written for Prompt 27 by Jack Whitehouse. She was sculpted by an artist with arthritis in both hands and built with stones left by the roadside as the Romans.
built the Colosseum from marble, limestone, and tuft, but the shiniest and purest and most delicate stones would not suffice for her mental or her bones. He told her this in the mirror. My dear, your lips are like roses, withered and neglected. Your eyes are like oceans, dried up and rejected. Hair like straw, but old and raw. These are none of the many reasons I love you for.
Well, great read, and that's a really, it's a really, really interesting poem. Talking about a lot of the issues that the person has. These are none of the many reasons I love you for. It's just an interesting, you know, way to show it. I think you love people for their positive reasons, their reasons that make you happy. But you know, you can also start. You know, for the flaws that you both have, right? So this is really powerful brevity. Excellent job, Jack. Great, let's start with you.
Yeah, you did a wonderful read with that, Lee. And, you know, the poem itself is, it's endearing. I mean, you know, you do love both sides of the person, their faults and all, if you are to be open-hearted and pure about it. But, this is a beautiful poem, well written.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And you got to read it, Lou.
About this poem is he says, these are not, aren't the reasons I love you. You know, and that's what's great about a relationship. You know, things can change, things can happen, and, you know, life, you know, tends to kick all of us in the butt. But when you're in love with somebody, it says that, that he saw her as an artist. And then it also told me something about her personality. You know, that she was built like a Colosseum from marble and even from delicate stones. And it says even though that wasn't her metal or her bones, it says that he told her that if you look in your mirror, you know, these are the things I love about you and what other people, you know, and then he kind of like, this is what I see and this is what you're seeing or possibly I'm seeing also. But he told her that, that no matter what, that he would still love her no matter how her beauty changed. Because she was still the same person inside.
Absolutely. Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And it was an awesome read. All right, Bobby,
thank
I'm going to take it to you for comment also after this, after your comment, to take us and introduce the next artist, the one for tonight, which Lou gave us a good preview of, and also then introduced the first poem, which I will give a read to. So all those things, I hope you write down.
I'm ready. I got my, what do they call it, my big girl shorts on? Okay. this piece, I really think this is a very clever write, because right up front, basically, here's a man who's acknowledging the flaws in his partner. He's setting him up. He says, "I see your flaws. They don't matter. You could have a face like 10 miles of Death Valley fire trails. It wouldn't matter because that's not what makes you special." And so, you know, she's got lips like roses, withered and neglected. I thought that was a very clever right. Your eyes are like oceans, dried up and rejected. Hair like straw. Great, you know, like some of the songs my dad used to sing. When you smile, your teeth fall out. Your hair is just like sauerkraut. You're tragic. But it's just he's putting those. It's funnier when it's sung. But he's putting those out there and saying, "I see these. They're not escape my attention. But it's not. It doesn't matter to me because that is not what has drawn me to you. These are none of the many reasons. It's a backwards way of approaching it, but I love it for just that reason, that it's clever. It makes you think. It makes you calculate. Okay, what is being said here? And it's these are none of the many reasons I love you. And that rather than laying out the reasons he loves them, he loves her. He has laid out the reasons why he could possibly not love her for the things that are unlovable, but it doesn't matter. So I really think this is a bloody brilliant write, and this is a brilliant company. Okay.
Absolutely.
So now, got that one out of the way. Okay, drum roll. Bum-ba-da-bum. Our next... Fred, I'll wait. This evening's featured artist, and this is all your fault, Dan. You suggested Frida Kahlo. Good, you did. I did. I was listening. See, every once in a while, I am listening. this was your suggestion. I thought it was brilliant. So we put this together a couple of weeks ago, and I tell you, it really truly is in fact. I did extra credit. I did extra credit work last night. There was actually a film done called Frida, and it's Selma Hayek plays. She portrays Frida Kahlo. She championed this film to get it done. It took like 10 years to get it done. Alfred Molina plays Diego Rivera. It's got a really stellar cast. I watched it last night. It actually helped me understand some of the artwork and what the motivation was behind it. So it's a really, if you get a chance to see the film, it's very well done. I think it's in the 2000s, so I think it's like 2002 or something like that. But anyway, I watched that last night in anticipation of this evening, and she was a singular woman. She was very strong into women's rights. She suffered a very catastrophic accident, a bus accident that I was reading about. The injury was rather graphic, she was impaled with a handrail on the bus. And it entered her hip and exited where it should not have. She was rendered barren because of that. But she was able to. She told him she wouldn't walk. She was able to power her way through that. She learned to walk again. Like Lou said, her father, who was a photographer and an artist, gave her an easel. And put a mirror over her bed to give her something to work at, because she was bedridden for years, going through numerous surgeries. So this took her into her artwork. And as on the contest, I wrote, I included one of her quotes. I paint self-portraits because I am so often alone, because I am the no best. A profound statement, but anyway, and in reading and studying, like the monobrow thing she had going was an exaggeration. She was actually quite a lovely woman, but she liked to like the previous poem. She kind of liked to exaggerate her shortcomings, but Diego Rivera, who was her husband, it was a very turbulent relationship. He actually admitted that she was a far better artist than he was. But they were artists together. That's how they met. Up until, I would say, in the last several decades, her work was very unknown. And celebrities like Madonna started purchasing her art because of what it represented to the empowerment of women. So anyway, and I've also included a couple of resources on the bottom. If you want to do a little extra reading, the fashion history on her is she actually her clothing choices because of the injury. She wore the long skirts, but the style was called Tijuana, and that this was a specifically a distinctive type of style where the tops were very box cut, and it tended to accentuate the femininity and almost bring forth the power of the person themselves as opposed to the power of the figure. So you will see in her photographs, you'll see her in Tijuana, also in traditional in her hairstyle. And that there's one painting you'll see that she actually basically she got pissed off at Diego and cut off all her hair and put on a man's suit, and she just kind of like went in the other direction just because she could. But she's a very powerful woman, very strong-willed, a very strong personality, and it comes through in her artwork. So with that, the first poem I know is special because this is not only this is a new writer. He's not only new to our contest, he is brand new to AP. And the first poem that he posted on AP was his contest entry. How about that? Doesn't get any better than that. So I wanted to call that out. This young man who's from Australia, who has graced us with his very first AP entry, his poem entry for tonight. So let's read that rascal.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Captain. Yeah, and this is by Mark E. called Starch Tears. And if you're following along, he is using prompt number 6. 1 foot on the sand, 1 foot in the sea. No hands to hold the cuffs of conformity, to fit the mold of who they want her to be. Her limbs are free from the normality of that society. She wears a hole through her chest, her truth not without scars. Her blood flows the honor of her stolen heart. Her pride she holds close in her remaining arm. Two worlds torn apart as she turns her back on the memory of a starched white past. End poem. Really
great
interesting.
Read.
I think this really, thank you. I think this really pays tribute to Frida. Gray, let's start with you.
Yeah, I agree. You did a wonderful read on it, Daniel. But, you know, I mean, it is a fantastic tribute to an incredible artist. It paints the picture in words as she does with her painting. So it was just an amazing poem.
Thanks, Gray. Absolutely. And Lou, what were your thoughts?
You know, when I see that large heart there that's just bleeding out, it just reminded me so much of her tragedies and everything that she's had to overcome, including the infidelity of her husband. You know, life, at times we can't control it. And, you know, she did say that she painted more of herself because she knew herself better than any other person or any other artist. And, you know, it just reminded me so much of the culture and the pain that she has gone through her life. Excellent read, Daniel. An excellent poem, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lou. And Bobby, you were very excited to read and post this one. So what did you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, when I was I review these periodically through the weeks. I always check to see if there's any new entries. And when we get a new one, I always go to the writer's page and you know, just kind of see how established they are, if they're new, what have you. Because we've been getting, in this particular context and the next one, we've got a lot of new writers, which I'm very excited about. And this one, when I saw that his first post was his contest entry, my head exploded. I thought that this is great. So I wanted to call him out and feature him. And I like his piece because he's got – I'm looking forward to seeing more from Mark E. because his powers of observation. He's got 1 foot on the sand, 1 foot in the sea. no hands to hold the cup of conformity. I mean, the observations that he's made from this piece immediately strike you to fit the mold of who they want her to be. Her limbs are free from the normality of that society. Great rhyming, great structure, great powers of observation. I really, really liked his interpretation of his chosen prompt. I mean, he's taken, and I know this, like I said, from the film that I watched last night, that the dress on the left is her as a young woman, almost a child. That's basically kind of what she was wearing. She was a student outfit that she was wearing when she was injured on the bus. And the other up is got, and that's got one arm, and that's the other arm is in the other outfit, which is the Tijuana dress, a traditional dress, and it's got just the descriptions that he's included here, and plus the heart bleeding out on the top, on the bottom, like Lou said, just his comments. She wears a hole through her chest. Her truth, not without scars. This, I think, is for brevity's tremendous right, a lot of impact, a great attention to detail, which my world revolves around detail. So I'm really impressed with the way he has structured this and his interpretation of the prompt. So I say thank you, Mark, for a terrific piece, and we hope to see more from you.
Awesome, Bobby. Awesome comment. Thank you. Yeah, his rhyme was a lot of fun. I thought he did an awesome job with that. That was really well penned. All right, let's move on. We have one by Ken Smith. And Gray, if you could give that a read, that is the prompt number 3.
Sure. This is called A Stream of Hardships by Ken Smith. Like a long file of black cars at a funeral. A face-down heart in the dirt, rubbed in it, like a powder puff of chalk ash lit underneath, from the pulsing glow of warm red blood inside your cheek. You would not let it go. You stood where you always stood. End poem.
That was a great read, Gray. Thank you. And we had a few people write to this prompt, which is really interesting. Lou, let's start with you. What's happening?
Granny did a good job in reading this poem by Ken Smith. What, you know, I liked about this is one of the things that she did, she was very close to customs and traditions and you know, that's a lot about what she painted about as a child and as her friends and everything and recording herself. And, you know, and this is just, you know, it just reminded me that, at least for me when I see this, it just reminded me how much she must have suffered as a child. The torture that people just, you know, rain upon you with comments and laughs and giggles. And you know, I can imagine sometimes she probably felt like she had to wear a mask or she felt like she didn't want to be seen. And sometimes, you know, having to put up with that type of attitudes, you know, sometimes you do feel like dying. So I can just imagine all the different things that she went through.
Great comment. Yeah, absolutely great comment. You know, it's interesting. This is not going to compare at all to her life and her tragedies and probably what she went through, but it's amazing how we see this all the time. I heard Mr. T, for those of you who know him from the 80s, he had a comment the other day that he felt like the, you know, pandemic was laying down, but he was still going to wear a mask, and he kind of put that on. It's a nice comment he just threw on his website, and Ted Cruz, for some reason, lambasted him and kind of attacked him for that, which I don't really understand, and probably his ignorance, because Mr. T actually went through some very, very serious chemotherapy. He had cancer very bad, so his immune system is really compromised, which is why he's doing this. And it's been sticking in my head a lot how people just jump on people for things they just don't understand, you know. And again, that doesn't compare to, you know, what she went through, but
Exactly.
It is sad that we just judge like that. Yeah, but anyway, thank you. Great comment. And Gray, you got to read it.
Yeah, you know, I like the darkness of it, you know, with the face down, heart in the dirt rubbed in it, like a powder puff of chalk ash lit underneath, you know, it has a lot of emotion, impactful emotion in such a small rite, a brevity of a poem. So, you know, that takes talent. So just a wonderful job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gray. And Bobby, how are you doing over there?
I like the metaphors. I like the attention to detail again, like a powder puff of chalk ash lit underneath. It's got a very dark approach to it. The thing that I'm kind of, I don't know why I'm fixating on this. I look at the artwork that he selected as his prompt, and it makes me wonder, when I look at the artwork, is the mask what she's wearing, or is the mask what's laying on the ground next to her? And is that her face? And that makes me puzzle. But it's almost like you're wearing a mask over a mask. And agreed with Louie. It has a very melancholy, almost a tragic tone. You would not let it go. Where you stood, where you always stood, and it's I think it echoes the fact that she did have a hard life, but she stood her ground, and she showed her range of emotions in her artwork. So great brevity, and thank you, Kim.
Absolutely.
Smith.
Absolutely, thank you. And Lou Yu Pro said he's an idiot. I can only assume she's talking about Ted Cruz, not Ken Smith, so thank you for writing that. I appreciate that, Lou. I don't want to get political. I never try to get political.
Bingo.
Show, but he is kind of an idiot, yes. Ted Cruz, not Ken Smith. I like you. Ken's great. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. And we, believe it or not, are back to you, Bobby, to read. So I'm going to post one here, and you get the honor of reading one by E.J. Cool called Frida's Lament, and this is on prompt 16 and 22. Oh, and I apologize for her. Jeez, I didn't see this. I'm so sorry, E.J. She had a SoundCloud, and I missed it. So that was my fault. Yeah, E.J., I owe you a beer if you're ever up in the Boston area. I'm sorry about that. But that's all right. Bobby will do it justice. That was.
As I say, I got to try and channel EJ, and I was just going to say the only reason we should be mad at Tech is now he's depriving some village of their idiot.
That's right. Exactly.
Taking someone's
sorry
job.
Again, EJ. We'll make up for you, but Bobby will do you justice. So Bobby, go for it.
Frida's bedridden between moon and sun, restrained by the weight of the solar system. My body heaves awful leftovers, overflowing, undigested and drinking. Waste, snarling vines grip the depths of my cavernous torso. They pick and they pull at the meat, meager bites on brittle bones, squelch and screech. They probe and they prod with jagged thorn and sharpened stick, tunneling veins slither under sorrel skin. I've been reduced. Food for the mongrels that fight in the streets. Meager bites on brittle bones, scraping teeth on rotting meat. I've been reduced, consumed by blackened, bister roots, recycled, upcycled, jumbled halves of truths. From the rubble of me, virgin uterine screams, buried ovaries, sprout callow saplings, doomed to die in abandoned alleys. End poem.
Wow. amazing read and really, really deep. I love EJ. She's becoming one of my favorite poets on here. And this is so just deep and haunting and dark. And it really, I mean, I luckily I've never been as injured as she has, and how you must feel when you're on the, you know, in an emergency room, just bleeding to death and holes in you. And, you know, that's when you really realize just, you know, what you are made of, and that you're, you know, you are the flesh that you are. You know, I've had to have surgery before, and even then it just seems, you know, you're in these people are probing you, prodding you inside your body, you know, and, you know, their life is in your hands. And how just, if, I don't know if anyone here has ever had to, hopefully not been in horrible accident, but it, you know, it must just, you know, if your body is just really beat up like that, it must just feel so, you know, so horrible and so amazingly frightening. And this, I think, really brought it to light, or to, you know, to eye-opening. Fantastic as always, EJ. I think this is amazing, right? Let's go to Gray. Everybody okay?
It was very visceral and emotive throughout the poem. I mean, you can feel the woman's pain and she's suffering and circumstances. And I thought it was such a beautiful presentation of the poem.
Yeah, thank you. And Lou, let's go with you. What did you think?
You know, I think that that this was a wonderful read, and I really enjoyed this poem by EJ. This just kind of reminded me so much of her life, you know, how day runs into night, night runs into day, you know, when you can sleep, when you can't sleep. You know, I imagine that being as seriously injured as she was, they probably had to do scrapings and IVs, and how painful, you know, because she talks about that. They pick and they pull at the meat of me, meager bites on bitter bones, squelch and screech. You know, I can literally hear her crying during her treatments and everything that she was going through. And, you know, it's just that, you know, that dark mountain that she's going to have to climb in order for her to get better. And of course she did, because she was supposed to have died, but she survived.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic, fantastic comment. Thank you. And you did a great job reading it, Bobby.
This is so EJ. She has such an intensity to her writing. I say EJ's writing is not for the timid, because she really cuts right to the heart of something and lays it bare. And she does it. She graces us with her marvelous vocabulary. I mean, like, I was looking at this one breath. Oh, I've been reduced. And she says that twice. For anyone who cooks, reduction is basically you're cooking something to get all the moisture out of it. And you do that with sauces. You do that with things like balsamic vinegar. You do reductions basically to get the moisture out of it. I've been reduced, consumed by blackened, bister roots, recycled, upcycled, jumbled halves of truth. Now, bister is actually an art term, and it is it's a very dark shade of grayish brown, or shade of brown, and it's made from boiling the soot from wood. You burn wood, you take the soot, you burn it, or you boil it, and you get bister, and it's transparent. And it's used almost like a glaze. So I like the fact that she's invoked that particular term in this, because I think it explains a lot. She also, her interpretation of this prompt is so powerful. She lays bare the anguish, the physical torment and the emotional torment. But she you realize at the end of the poem that the only kind of person that can survive this is the one who's emotionally very strong. So I think that even in this in the physical torment, she's brought that forward. So great job, EJ. Thank you very much for a great piece.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the reasons why I really like EJ. She she doesn't hold back. She just she says what she wants to say, and you know, if somebody's going to emote and give their thoughts and write poetry, I don't know why you'd want to limit yourself. So you want to really just express yourself without having to put limits. So one of the things I love about her. Anyway, excellent comment. Let's move on here. We actually have a SoundCloud for this one. Gray, this is Kay Heartless SoundCloud. If you can play that for me, I'm going to post it. This is called In the Closet of a Stranger's Land.
Okay, I got it.
In the closet of a stranger's land. My heart is a clothing bag stashed in the closet of a stranger's land. The hung costumes attack. Jaguna, Makoitis, and Dracorum say to see. My culture stabs instead of grasps. Childhood was a slow dredge on a fluted tin washboard. Once I rode a chariot of soapy clouds among roaring ocean crowds, a schoolgirl streaming wrinkles from a dream. Walked on the water the day of my wedding, virginity sinking in the heavy scent of dirty satin bedding. My legs, a tangled updo of sanctified placental seaweed. Womanhood is for warriors, though. Try adventuring with one foot free. A sailboat ready to flee while the other foot anchors. The other foot begs, Mommy! The other foot buries itself below the blood-drenched sand until the coat hanger latches and the heart attacks in the closet of a stranger's land.
Yeah, that was a great read. Thanks, Kay. Awesome, awesome read. Thanks for sending the SoundCloud in. Yeah, and I think everybody's really, getting onto her life as well as just the paintings, which is great. You know, I actually watched a movie from the early 90s called The Fisher King, which is a very dark and very kind of bleak outlook for a while, but then everybody kind of comes out, and it's funny. It kind of set the stage for myself for these poems where she had so much trouble, but then, she also became this fantastic, well-renowned artist. So just a personal thing I wanted to throw out there. That was just kind of setting the stage for myself tonight. But great, great read, Kay. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
I thought this was nitty and gritty. I enjoyed listening to her read her poem. I can just imagine, life was very different in that time for women. And, many times women had to change their costumes according to whatever they were dealing with men, going to the bank, with your husband. And, it just deepened my sadness when I read that she says that a sailboat ready to flee while all the other foot anchors, the other foot begs, Mommy, the other foot buries itself, the different things that she had to go through and the different emotions that you go through. And they said that she had been pregnant three times and had miscarried all three. So I can just imagine, where she did feel like her heart was bleeding out.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. Gray, what are your thoughts?
I thought you did a beautiful job on the SoundCloud. I mean, that was an amazing read. But, the poem itself is intriguing and very astute in its presentation of her life as it stood. Womanhood is for warriors, though. Try adventuring with one foot free, a sailboat ready to flee. Oh, the other foot anchors, the other foot pegs. Mommy, the other foot buries itself below the blood-drenched sand until the coat hanger latches and the heart attacks in the closet of a Stranger's Land. Just a beautiful poem. Fantastic write and read.
Yeah, I agree, Frey, absolutely. Yeah, and going back to what Lou was saying, too, you know, about that, and I think she was, was inspired by that Womanhood for Warriors, too. It's interesting how the prejudices of humanity kind of pulsate back and forth, right? In the 20s and around then, you know, there was different expectations for women, right, and for men, and that was, a tough time for, in a lot of ways, for her to be alive. So very, very interesting. Bobby.
Yes. This is the same prompt that we just saw. It's a very good illustration of a different style, but also the same observation, the comment about the feet. I'm really impressed. Both writers called this out as significant. They saw what Frida had included, and were able to invoke it. And I really appreciate, again, the attention to detail, the interpretation of the prompt. And by the way, it was a really splendid SoundCloud. It's a great read. I have to agree with Pam Ray. She said many, many times that hearing a piece in the author's voice is so significant and impactful, and in this case. But she dedicates a whole stanza to the two feet and what they signify. And she talks about the childhood and the different costumes, and you're right. And there's, I think, having listened to both pieces and the way that they've interpreted it, I see in her feet also the dichotomy of womanhood. On the one hand, you're supposed to be, especially in that particular period of time, supposed to be nurturing, caring, compassionate, and at the same time strong, resilient, like the poet said, a warrior. Womanhood is for warriors, and can I imagine how difficult that is to maintain both faces successfully, and then try and be your own person. So I think this illustrates it quite beautifully. It's a great piece. So thank you for a terrific write, Gay Heartless.
Absolutely, thanks, Bobby. And let's move on here. I have one by Rosewinter 515 called Living Nature. If you don't mind giving that a read, Luyu, that would be great. This is on prompt number 12.
Okay. And this is written by Rosewinter 515, and it is titled Naturaleza Vida, Living Nature. Naturaleza Vida, Living Nature. Sun and moon caress the sky and earth below. Dove of peace, treasures of fruit and vegetables with bread basket, fruitfulness of soil rooted in nature. End poem.
Excellent. Great read. And I always love Rosewinter's brevity. She's awesome at that. Let's go with Gray. What did you think?
You did a wonderful read on it, didn't you? But, you know, I thought it was a light and fluffy poem filled with incredible imagery.
Yeah, absolutely. She always has such a beautiful way of being positive and expressing herself. Lou, you got to read it. What are your thoughts? Lou, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Okay.
Hi.
What I like about this was what she painted was things that she knew or that she had subject with or she was familiar with. And, you know, food is life. Life is food. You know, the sun, the night, the moon, the stars. And then, you know, I can imagine the palomita, the dove that's here, how she, you know, I don't know if she had doves outside her window. It doesn't say. But I know that she painted what she enjoyed or what she knew about. And I really enjoyed this poem because I thought they caught it beautifully.
Excellent. I agree. Thank you. Thanks, Lou. And Bobby.
I agree that Rose has a real gift for brevity. I mean, she's able to take a visual prompt and distill it down with a great deal of success, and she's got all of the key elements in here. I'm looking at she used for her prompt, piece 12, which is actually one that does not have Frida's likeness in it, which I find is an interesting choice. It's got a dove. It's got fruits, it's fruits and the sun in the background. It's a very very bold hand here. And it says, Naturale la vida, which was obviously where she got to. But she's selected something that doesn't have Frida's likeness in it and still has distilled out the essence of Frida Kahlo, sun and moon, the earth below, dove of peace, and the fruitfulness of soil rooted in nature. This is a great interpretation of, I would say, challenging. Look at some of the ones with Frida in there. And they're much easier to derive. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much for your piece.
Thank you, Bobby. And we're going to cook right along here. We got lots of great poetry still to go, which I'm very excited about. So this one's by Scott Sharp for prompt number 9 called Ill-Fated, and there is a SoundCloud prey, if you would honor us with that.
Ill-Fated, is that a hand on your breast, like medicine? My, how Marxism can make you feel good, not to be mistaken for well. Hang on to those crutches. You will need them when his hand slaps your face, falling to the earth from the clouds with the red book that keeps you chastised. For that turkey to the north is really an eagle. Peace of the dove soars with him on the wings of freedom.
Great read, Scott. Thank you very much. And let's go with Lou. What are your thoughts? Lou, are you there? I think we might have lost you for a second.
I'm sorry. What I liked about this was his description and his metaphors about how he talked to. I know that she was involved with, you know, the revolutionary and also, you know, what was going on in Earth. And I can imagine, you know, like with that dove, for me, I would want peace in my life. But there was that strong metal spine of hers, which, you know, is with that corset that would make her stand up. And, you know, and at times, you know, crutches can be something that we literally have to use because of an ailment we may have, like she had polio, or it could be something that we use to protect ourselves from everything else. And, you know, so I can, you know, just imagine all the different images that are in here, how all these different things affected her life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the line, hang on to those crutches. You don't need them when this hand slaps your face. You know, because mm-hmm. you may use, you know, some sort of a crutch at some point, but you'll probably need it again. You know, fit, whether it's your family or your wits and your experience, or, you know, an actual crutch. So, yeah, great comment. Thank you. And Gray.
Yeah, you know, for a brevity, it really packs a powerful political punch, you know. You know, American freedom versus Marxism, who do you think will win? And the effects that both of those have on your life. So just a powerful poem for brevity.
Yeah, absolutely. And State of the United States now, I'm not really sure. That's the scary part. So let's hope, you know. So common sense wins out. Great comment. And Bobby, let's go with you.
Well, it's a devotee of socialism. According to the film, she and Diego actually played host to Leon Trotsky and his wife when Stalin was trying to assassinate Trotsky, which he eventually did. With some success, she believed in the virtues of socialism, and she portrayed in this piece. And Scott really does a great job of calling that out, interpreting the details in the prompt, because as you look at Frida's artwork, is rife with details and little snippets of things here and there that you can be pulling out, and some more than others. And I made sure I included those because some of them you could write from now until the next show, and still have plenty of material left. But this is Scott at his finest. He has a cynicism that is almost all of a sudden my brain has just checked out. I'm sorry, we'll see you later. I just was looking at this Kerouac. Is almost is Kerouac-esque in his approach to certain subject matter, and I like that he reveals that in when he's calling out, you know, this may look ideal to some people, but this God has feet of clay, out with a great action and great use of language, and he does that here as well. He points out that the turkey to the north is really an eagle of peace. A dove soars with him on the wings of freedom. But it's interesting how she blended her politics into her artwork. I mean, this was, as far as she was concerned, this was not two different aspects of her life. This was her life. So it's interesting to be able to look at it that way. So thank you for a great SoundCloud and a great piece, Scott.
Great comment. Thanks for that, Bobby. Yeah, and his SoundCloud was great. Thanks a lot. The read was awesome. All right, let's continue on here. Gray, I'm hoping you can read this one that I posted, which is by Pixie652, but also it looks like she collaborated with Vijaya Vavlinko Kolanu. I don't know if I'm saying her name right. So it's a little bit of a collaboration with someone else too, which is fantastic. And this is called Without Hope. And for prompt number 22, and again, Gray, if you could give us a read of that one, that'd be great.
Sure. Okay, here we go. Without Hope by Pixie562. I lay here in my bed, pain racking my body, the spout of leftover flesh and corpses, fruit spews out of my mouth, frail and nauseous with tasteless diet. The artist in me loses her flavor, sickness infecting my very being, clinging, cuddling, stuck to every fiber in my body. I cannot escape the nightmare. And boom.
That was a great read. Thank you very much. And the interesting thing, if you read her, if you read the conversation below, the first line, I lay here in my bed, pain wrecking my body. It's originally, it was, they discussed whether it be, I lay here in my bed, body's pain racking my mind, which I think both ways are very interesting ways to go. And they went with the pain wrecking my body way. But I think both of those lines were very interesting. So great read. And I love this poem. Let's go with Lou. Lou, you, what do you think?
You know, can you hear me, Daniel?
We can. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I just want to make sure. You know, I just, to me, this was something, you know, where you feel, you know, I don't know if any of y'all have ever suffered anything debilitating. It just feels like you're never going to get better sometimes. You know, and then the medication and then the antibiotics and then, you know, the different diets they put you on, you know, it just, you feel hopeless, you know. That's why I like the title. And, you know, and then sometimes, you know, I can imagine someday she didn't feel like painting. It was just enough trouble just to breathe and deal with whatever medical things that she was going for that day. And, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it. She couldn't move, you know, and it's like living a life that you're awake 100% of the time and you cannot get out of this horrific situation that you're in.
Well, Ken, talk collaboration.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I had back surgery, spinal surgery many years back, and it took me over a year to be able to walk again. I had to it took forever. And I mean, I ended up being fine. I was teaching coaching my kids' soccer team, and I'm, you know, pretty much 100%, which the doctors actually said I wouldn't be. But I remember, you know, it just took forever for me to get better, and I was always thinking, you know, am I going to, you know, I'm scared something's going to happen. I'm not going to heal right. What, you know, it can be, you know, pain, you know, injuries and that kind of thing can be very, you know, just tired on both the body and the mind. So great comment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Great. You did a great job reading it.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I thought it was very intriguing poem on the subject of the pain that the artist lived through daily. You know, it was just a beautiful presentation of that. Very sad and tragic, though. Haunting throughout, but just beautiful, right?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. And Bobby?
Brilliant brevity. A great interpretation of the prompt. I was delighted when I read the author's note to see a collaboration there. I don't think we've had many of those, so you know, full marks on that one. Great to see that. She's basically nailed it. It's not been an injury. I've had surgery several times for a full joint replacement, and pain is exhausting. Cutting through it physically, you have to press your mind through it too. Keep telling yourself that this is not the world the way it's going to be forever. It's just now. This is right now. But it seems interminable. Little sidebar here. Whatever's going on in the background. Someone needs to put their phone on mute. There we go. It feels like it's never going to end. The artist in me loses her flavor, sickness affecting my very being. You get so emotionally exhausted that you don't have any of the energy that you want to dedicate to the things that you love, because all you're doing, it's almost like Maslow's hierarchy. At that point, you're just trying to gut through what you've got going, and it's one step in front of the other. It's very, so this brevity actually does a tremendous job of expressing that. We can all feel it just from the way she's expressed it. So great job, Pixie. Six God too, and thank you for great brevity.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. You know, we have a lot of brevities tonight, which is really interesting. A lot of brevities that are very compact and just say a lot. So I think that's interesting with the way this this contest is. Yeah, absolutely. And we have another one actually coming up, and this one's by Lemon Narrations, and there happens to be a SoundCloud with that. Great if we could get that played.
Here on the ground lies the hair of my younger self. Oh, how I've changed from the little girl I once knew. Weight off my shoulders, I know who I was is gone. New hair, new me. I can't see what the future holds. Time stands still for no one. It is always changing. Same goes for me, and I never know what is next. But with time comes growth, and hair grows back once again. I change yet again, and the cycle starts anew. End poem.
Awesome. Reed, Lemon Narrations, thanks for sending that in. And that was to prompt 23 for those following along. Gray, I want to start with you.
You know, I thought it was a fantastic poem on the subject of growing up out of the child within you and starting a cycle new as an adult. You know, but with time comes growth and hair grows back once again. I change yet again, and the cycle starts anew.
Absolutely, and the metaphor of hair as change is really interesting. I never actually thought of that before, where your hair is constantly always growing and changing as yourself is. So it's a very interesting metaphor. And Luyu.
You know, I went to look up why she cut her hair when I was reading her autobiography, and it says that she did it because she was so sad that she cut her long hair off to show the desperation of betrayal, that she wanted children, but she couldn't bear any due to the bus accident. And then she did this when she had her second miscarriage. And it says that her and Riviera had to separate a few times. So they went back together. So this was a time where, to me, it felt like if she felt as if her body was betraying her because she couldn't bear children. And in those days, it was known that you were not a woman if you couldn't bear children. There was something wrong with you. It wasn't because of the man or whatever like that. It was always the woman's fault. And I can't imagine, you know, everything she went through, how, you know, she must have been so heartbroken and felt shame that she couldn't bear children. Deeply sad, sad poem. Excellent recording.
Really great point. Thanks, Luyu. And Bobby.
In the film, it showed that she had the miscarriage several times. She desperately wanted to have. But I think injury that she suffered in the bus accident really... Mm-hmm. Played havoc with her reproductive system, and she did as Lou said, there was prevalent attitude that if you could not bear children, you were less than a woman. There was a stigma attached to it, and whether her anguish is through the socialization or through her personal desire to have children. This is how it played out. She hacked off all her hair. in the one prompt, and you see her in a man's suit, as basically saying she is no longer a woman. She might as well, because she couldn't fulfill her traditional social role as wife. She couldn't be a mother. So this is a very intense gravity that does a really fine job of the interpretation of that. And delighted to see another SoundCloud. We have a bouquet of SoundClouds tonight.
We did. Yeah, it's interesting. And back then, you know, medical science not as good as it is now. I bet you there was a lot of times when the man was the one that was sterile, but, you know, you're mm-hmm. married and the woman's, you know, not having kids, but it could have been the man's fault, but it's her fault, right? Society can be very interesting and dark at times. So a lot of, you know, a lot of really dark and deep pieces tonight. I got to start telling more jokes tonight, I think. We're getting really deep for a Saturday night over here. We gotta lighten up a little. But anyway, no, but great stuff. Absolutely fantastic poems. So let's continue on. Did I post this one yet? I don't know. I'm losing it. I didn't. Okay, let me post this one here. Great comments. So I was lost in the comments, but I'm gonna post this by I believe another new one to our
radio show. This is another new writer.
Another new writer. Wow. La Femme Nikita.
Another new writer. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of new writers tonight. Really interesting evening. This is La Femme Nikita. It's called Little Brave One. It is for the girl with the death mask prompt again, and I'm going to give it a read. Little Brave One, you would light up somber skies with electrifying hues, with a wingspan that covered continents. And as you soared, you would breathe new life into empty fields and replenish empty souls. Little Brave One, you did not deserve the broken body that would become of you. Not the chasm of pain that followed, when in contrast to the endless possibilities of your imagination, you creatively would not extend to your womb. Mm-hmm. Little brave one, for 47 long years you would bloom. You would make each long year count twice. You would live a lifetime as full as any centurion. In our lives, we are all little ones, but we are not all as brave as you. Little brave one, when I also found myself alone under a somber sky, in an empty field with a bleeding soul, with an imagination full of possibilities that would not extend to my womb, I felt less alone and more brave thinking of you. And the fantastic hues you left behind would fill me until I soared across the continents once more. End poem. Wow, that was really, really deep. I actually almost teared up a couple times reading that. I just wrote a poem myself, or more in story form, about inspiration. And, you know, one of the things about this artist that I find, you know, fascinating and inspiring is her inspiration, that she did suffer and she did have a lot in her life that she went through, but she still found a way to, you know, accomplish something and be a positive part of society with her art and inspires still today. I mean, we have a whole show, you know, based around her. So I think that really shows, great power and positivity in the face of adversity. So it's one of the things I find interesting about her. let's go with Gray. What do you think?
You did an excellent read of that, Daniel. But, you know, I thought it was an epic telling of rebirth through the suffering of another who overcame the odds of life. It was very inspiring.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gray. And Leo.
Well, I found this poem deeply heartbreaking. They took this photograph into a whole different area than the other poems. That child that we see that's wearing the death mask are the children that she lost. I imagine she would think, would they have grown up to paint like me? Would they have grown up to paint like, you know, my father, their grandfather? And,
right.
I imagine that when she would see children, she would see her child amongst the children. It's a hard thing to lose one child in a miscarriage, but to lose three, I just, you know, how, where she says, she's telling her baby, little brave one, when I also found myself alone under a somber sky in an empty field with a bleeding soul, which I'm not going to finish reading because if I do, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to bust out in tears. But, you know, I can imagine how lonely she felt, you know, feeling the baby grow in her womb. And then she says, I felt less alone and more brave thinking about you, you know, thinking that, you know, hoping that her child is in a better place. Excellent, excellent,
yeah,
heartbreaking poem.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really impressed. This is a great poem. Gray, your thoughts?
Sorry, I'm just kind of lost here. But no, you know, I really liked it. It was an epic telling of rebirth through the suffering of another who overcame the odds of life, and I found it inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I just followed this poet right now because I'm really interested to see what else she will do. And Bobby.
I got to call her out because this is a double header tonight. This is also a brand new writer who is brand new to AP, and this is also her first post to AP, and it is
to
our contest. Oh my God! You know, we're gonna have to develop a special prize just for the
exactly.
Neophyte artists come out here and they grace us. Our contrast with their I find that exciting, and I feel honored by it. So this is also La Femme Nikita has done that with, and so thank you for that. And I also thought this was extremely intense. Lou, I love the insight of your comment, the fact that not only was this this child with the death mask. Those were her.
Mm-hmm.
Those were her miscarriages. I mean, I didn't
yeah.
see it until you pointed out. I was like, "Oh my God, that's bloody brilliant!" And the intensity of it, it's withering. I mean, but this and the refrain, the brave one. This is such an intense, powerful piece. So the anguish, it's so mournful. I also found myself alone under a somber sky in an empty field with a bleeding soul, with an imagination full of possibilities that would not extend to my womb. Oh, my.
Thank you, Bobby. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, and Lou, that's a great great insight, great call-out, and on figuring that out. I knew we kept you around for some reason, Lou, and that's why you get these things out. So
also decorative.
Absolutely. So, all right, cool. Let's see. Did I post it? Yes, I did. So this goes back to you, Bobby. It's called As Lungs of Earth, Amazon Forests, Humanity's North, South, East, West Are Two, One Breath of Life. Fantastic title, and this is by Reality 7, if you can read that, Bobby. Yes, that's not the poem, that's the title. But
yeah, that takes the prize for the longest title of any poem in the contest, so well done. As Lungs of Earth, Amazon Forests, Humanity's North, South, East, West Are Two, One Breath of Life. Dualism sets the frame, an earthen paradigm, enlightened by the sun from within painting's perspective, man, right, woman, left, with all their great minds portraiture as their side's experiential knowledge is brought through. Earth through Gaia, a greater woman's womb, and every woman's womb rain down on newborns, the future well taken care of. Of course, the highest level, Moses, upper painting is on woman's back, on woman's side, left bank. Colors are dramatic players, oceans behind earth, below sunshine, quite a cornucopia of mortals and meanings populate the palace of her canvas, as if the hues were royalty amongst the doings of humanity, earth, feeling somatic, part, whole, free, planted. What are the doings of man, albeit great, comparative to the dance, song of spheres, evolution raining down upon the noble, ignoble alike, through the new births of life itself, only personified by children, as if each raindrop is the cosmos incarnate, soul anew, sown in every single human being to be strewn, ensconced as far wide as all light. End poem. Ed Silence. Please tell me I'm not alone.
Oh, we lost Daniel.
Oh, hey guys, there we are. Okay, you can hear me now. Sorry
Welcome
about
back.
That. I thank you. I heard the whole reading. I have no idea why I did this. I've been pushing mute on my phone. I'm on my phone. I'm usually on the computer. And my brain said, ooh, a red button, and I pushed it, and I honestly have zero idea why. I'm like, why did I just hang up? There's no reason to hang up. It was like, ooh, look at that shiny red thing. Let me push it. So there's no reason for that. Anyway, I don't know what happened. Anyway, this is a really interesting really, really interesting poem and a fantastic read you did. I won't read it, but he wrote pretty, very interesting notes on there as well, too, if anybody wants to check those out. But let's go to Lou. It sounds like you're back, if you want to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, this picture just brings out so many different images in my mind. You know, for me, it was like looking at Adam and Eve, and eventually underneath the, you know, we're all heading towards death. So you see the skeletons underneath their young, subtle bodies. And then, you know, to me, this was the blending of a man and a woman, you know, the ovaries, you know, that he provides the birth, you know, the egg to start dividing and make a baby. And, you know, and as you see, it's dripping out. And what normally happens is you have the baby, but for her, that's not what happened. And, you know, just like through history, this is, you know, this isn't something new. And everything affects our lives and what's going on with our bodies. And sometimes what we dream, it never comes true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I thought of Adam Eve when I saw this painting too. You know, this really shows her talents for as a painter. I think it's very complex and it's beautifully done. So awesome comment, thank you. And Gray.
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Bobby. But you know, the poem itself is deeply metaphysical, intriguing. It's got incredible imagery and it's deeply metaphoric. What are the doings of man, albeit great, comparative to the dance, song of spheres, evolution raining down upon the noble, ignoble alike, through the new births of life itself, only personified by children, as if each raindrop is the cosmos incarnate, soul anew sown in every single human being to be strewn, ensconced as far and wide as all light. Yeah, I mean, light carries all, so you know, I think it's just a beautiful statement on light traveling through light. Beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Great, great insight. Thank you very much. And, yeah, I'm going to read some of what he said. He said, in this Teacher Appreciation Month, while remembering that the intellect can't lead, life doesn't follow. So I thought that was really interesting. Great comment. And Bobby, let's go to you.
An interesting combination. We've got, I think, one of her more complex, detailed, layered pieces of art And here we have a very layered light that attempts to really explore. And this is very intricate piece of art. And I think Doug did a really good job. It is, I would find this particular prompt daunting. I was impressed that someone could tackle it and on. So Reality 7 gets the unstar tonight for bravery on tackling this particular prompt. What are the doing, and I'll bet great compared to the dance, song of spheres, involution raining down upon the noble, ignoble alike. It points out the equality of everyone, through their introduction to life and then their exit from it. We all are born in the same way and we die in the same. Basically, we all end. My one friend, the mortician, says that the body is a biological machine. It is marvelous in that it replicates itself, and then when it has reached the end of its usefulness, it turns itself off. This particular rite is a very impressive, well done, Reality 7.
Thank you, Bobby. And we're going to crank right along here, and we have another new person to allpoetry.com who only has 9 poems posted, and it was not their first poem, but their like fourth or fifth poem. But another new person, which is great to see. It's called it's by the Echo Insider called When We Grow Bored, Prompt 22, and it's a SoundCloud, if you can play that for me, great.
Faded. Dreams we live do not sustain, so children eat the crumbs to mark the path. Phantoms, painted black across a rain of slowly falling white volcanic ash. Still we stand ourselves. Why should I stand in line? Then we scream and shout. Why do I waste my time? Hated, a god is great to be ignored. And rather be an asshole than a whore. Randoms built their houses near the shore, awash with trash sent across in exchange for more. Why now can't you see? What's in you is in me. And closer to the truth, what's done to me gets done to you. But all the suffering we distort when we grow bored.
Wow.
Great read. I love this book. I can't wait to hear more SoundClouds from Echo Insider. And Gray, I'm going to start with you.
I thought it was a powerfully hard-hitting and emotive poem on the subject of life and living it. We go through so much in our daily lives. Why now can't you see what's in you is in me and closer to the truth? What's done to me gets done to you. But then all the suffering we distort when we grow bored. It was a hard-hitting poem for sure. Well read as well.
Absolutely. And Luyu.
You know, this poet also took this picture in a complete, direction. You know, I have been laying in a hospital bed and cannot move. I've been told not to move. And you're just, like, going out of your mind. I don't know how long she was in the hospital, but maybe Bobby knows. But that type of long dealing illness or recovery is insane. And I imagine that there's a lot of reflection, and especially here where she talks about phantoms,
you know, that I wish I did, I wish I didn't, did I, could I done this, could I done that? You know, we always question ourselves. Phantoms painted black across a rain of slowly falling white volcanic ash. I could literally see the tears running down the side of her eyes, thinking of the predicament and everything that she saw wrong within herself. All this rawness, and you know, there's so many different pictures up here. You know, of course, it has chicken and fish in here, and it has like sausages, and it looks like body parts. And then this one picture, it almost looks like a baby's face. And you know, and I'm thinking, you know, if everything that she's been told, what she's been told, she shouldn't be alive, she can't have babies, I can imagine, you know, that collage, the menagerie of madness and images that were built in her head and her mind. And you can see it in her paintings.
Absolutely, thank you very much. Excellent, excellent comment. Bobby, take us home.
Tremendous comment. I really enjoyed it. Really, really liked your comment, Lou. This is a new writer. I'm just thrilled to see these folks coming out of the woods and gifting us with their writings. This is really exciting. I like the structure of this. It's faded, phantoms, hated, randoms. Very subtle in that you've got this hidden rhyming pattern in the titling, and then the writings. Some of the statements in here: we stand ourselves. Why should we? Why should I stand in line? And we scream and shout. Why do I waste my time? There are some really profound philosophical statements in here. The book for the one that quoted it. You can't see you within you. I'm you. You are me. The shared experience. This is a tremendous piece of writing. It's a really intense interpretation of the prompt. A great piece of poetry. So thank you, Echo Insider, and we hope to see more from you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. All right, we have one up. I'm going to post right here by Gerald Green. And believe it or not, we do not have a SoundCloud from him today. So
heaven,
I'm going to ask
Lou.
I know, I'm telling you. But I'm going to let Lou read that. I'm sure she will do great justice to it. So, Lou, if you can give that a read for me.
Thank you. And this is titled Balance of the Yin and Yang by Gerald E. Green. Testosterone shapes and defines, with passion marches on, creating, building, using strength for projects one by one. Strong girders form the skeleton, and granite is the skin for buildings rising to a height where air is cool and thin. Great monuments have been erected, flourishing with dignity, reminding of a key event somewhere in history. Each pillar shaped by sweat and care, supporting roofs and beams, creates a statement that endures, exalting dreams and schemes. Large, complicated factories assembled by strong hands belch smoke and toxic chemicals, supporting greedy plans. As trash builds up and landfills fill, desire for progress grows, with new ideas springing up whose impact no one knows. In spite of all the accomplishment of centuries and more, each generation claiming to be greater than before. There's something undeniable, a fact we must accept, about a simple symbol clamoring for our respect. A dress bespoke the feminine, where weakness is a key, unlocking doors and treasure chests with sensitivity. Its colored fabric represents desire for grace and style that decorates and beautifies what makes it all worthwhile. It hangs mid-center and before each great accomplishment, deserving honor and respect and man's acknowledgement. End poem.
Yeah, you always read so great, Lou. I could listen to you talk all day. And I could read Gerald all day as well, too. What a great poet he is, huh? And let's go with Bobby. I mean, let's go with Bobby. I always try to save you the last to get us on. Let's go with Gray. Sorry, didn't mean to tease Bobby, but let's save you. Let's go with Gray.
That's your bad.
That's right.
I thought it was an epic statement on the balance, the yin and yang between manhood and feminism. I thought it was just a beautiful, well-written poem, well-read, Liu. And, you know, there's something
Thank
undeniable,
you.
This fact we must accept, about a simple symbol clamoring for respect. A dress bespoke the feminine, where weakness is the key, unlocking doors and treasure chests with sensuality. You know, I mean, men might have built the world, but women have ruled it in many ways. So such a fantastic statement on that.
Absolutely, Gray, absolutely. Yeah, he did some great rhyming in this, too, I thought. Lou, you did do an awesome job reading it. What did you think of it?
You know, I was very curious as I kept reading each line and stanza, trying to see what he was painting. You know, what I liked about this, you know, that each land, each culture, each society has the things that they value. And, you know, and I started thinking, you know, of course, that's what influences them. You know, we looked at democracy, we look at monarchy, we look at capitalism, and, you know, she was aware of this. And then I got a big kick out of the picture to the left where it looks like it's Mae West, where, you know, society, you know, being blonde was an asset that society did. I mean, even the actresses, you know, the sexuality, they all changed their hair from dark red, and a lot of them changed it to blonde. And, you know, that's just part of the culture and part of society. And, you know, like there's a trash can there where it just looks like, for me, when I see that, is all the dreams and hopes she had is in the garbage can. And there she is, her dress in the middle, where she, to me, it was saying that I exist in this mad culture of the world that they were living in at that time. You know, and it says, strong girders form the skeleton, and granite is the skin for buildings rising to a height where air is cool and thin. You know, sometimes we just have to rise above our pain.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, you got great insight on that. Thank you very much. And Bobby.
I believe this was painted when Ego, her husband, went to New York. He actually ended up getting a commission Rockefeller family to do a mural in one of their buildings. But because he was painting the likenesses of Lenin and Trotsky, and Rockefeller said, you know, they wanted that not on there, and Diego wouldn't compromise his values. They destroyed the mural. They basically paid him off and took the, I mean, destroyed the wall. But she was, she followed him. She was in the U.S., so you see a lot of features. You see the Statue of Liberty in the background. You see New York. And just like, and I see a parallel here, just like when she was injured and being held hostage by her body, by in a hotel, in a hospital room for 2 years, mm-hmm. while she mended. Here she was with Diego, but she was being held hostage again, but this time by an alien culture this year she's at the Tijuana dress, mm-hmm. right in the center of this, which is her focus. This is her locus. This is her nuclei. This is who she is, hanging amid all of this foreign environment that clearly she does not cleave to. She's not comfortable with. She wanted to go home, and I think this piece speaks to the fact that she wanted Diego to just basically quit what he was doing in the U.S. and home. And I think that balance of yin and yang was thrown out of balance, out of mm-hmm. her environment.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. You know, really, really amazing woman. I'm gonna have to definitely check out that movie. I didn't realize there was one, so I gotta check it out. All right, and next we have one by Gray, called Rooted. Gray, if you wouldn't mind reading that for us.
Hey.
Sure. This is a micro brevity, so rooted. Upon the desert, she lays rooted to the earth. Her thoughts soar as ideas are given birth. Her roots crawl and sprawl, tapping everywhere. She mourns the loss of a life, suffering the strife. She longs to be a mother and a wife. End poem.
Awesome. Great read. I love it.
Good read, Gray.
Yeah, good read. And Liu, start with you.
You know, Gray's brevities are always powerful. You know, I imagine that she wouldn't have kept trying to get pregnant, you know, if she didn't love the person she was with. You know, and you know, every family, you know, it's to propagate. You know, your children are there to bring the name on and to, you know, to be a mother, to be a wife. And, you know, I can't imagine how much she suffered with each baby that she lost. You know, I imagine, you know, like the great part here, upon the desert, she lays rooted to the earth. You know, she knew what she wanted. She knew what she wanted in life, but it was denied her.
Thing is, I wrote this poem to the feeling of what I got from the picture, and then I found out later about her not being able to conceive, so I thought it was pretty fitting.
Oh, wow, that's great. I mean, I think that's a testament to the artist. And also, you know, for being able to express yourself, though, and also a testament to yourself of, you know, interpretation. So that's always so cool when you do really get that feeling of what they're trying to say, and it was what the artist is trying to say. So thanks, Gray.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And Bobby.
Perfect piece, Gray. Really, really outstanding brevity. And you can see in the artwork, and you brought this forward, and Louie's comments also how she was, her spirit was rooted to her homeland, but her physically she was not rooted to her homeland through progeny. She wanted. And whether we think about it consciously or unconsciously, children are immortality. You live on through your progeny. You have children; they are you. They take a little bit of you with them. You remain with them, and that's your legacy. And she didn't have that, so mm-hmm. her only legacy really was her. And that was maybe expressed in this artwork, the frustration that she was rooted to her land through her artwork, but not through her body.
Exactly,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you very much. All right, and thanks for that, Gray. Awesome poem, awesome read. So, keeping with the theme here, we have another new poet to allpoet.com, and this is by Pee Wee Cussin, and this is actually his second poem that he ever posted on the website.
Oh.
So I'm going to give this one a read here, and this is the prompt 37, so way down the road there. Mm-hmm. This is called Payin' the Poet. A lifetime full of words, not for me, but for you. Words that did their best to always see me through. But at some point, the words I can no longer find, writing on a canvas, quickly running out of lines. Black has given away to gray, and once I had you. But a fickle thing life is to leave me now with blue. Now the time when the poet has no more words, time when sun no longer shines for man or bird. Another morning to never hear that sweet song, another day that just drags itself on far too long. These days roll by unceasing, an endless parade, a carnival of souls playing out the roles they've made. But where is a role for one who sits and sees it all? An old soul, a gentle one, yet destined only to fall. No place in a world made up of disposable things, disposable people, false prophets, and broken wings. And as always was, it is, therefore always will be, far too real to struggle against this turbulent sea. So the writing continues, but only to ease his loss. Depression round his soul has become permafrost. And the ice, it shan't crack, nor will it warm or melt, a lifetime full of feelings that only the poet has felt. Alone always in dark through the raven black night, alone again in the morning dew, alone in the light. A life that was made, it seems, for everyone but he, who describes its wonders and shows who will see. So fitting the poet, he grins and quietly cries. He knows his life and the page have no more lies. And in poetic irony, as many writers at times will do, his lifeblood onto page pours one last time for you. So his carcass you pass by without a second look. A lifetime full of words he has given, and his life you took. End poem. So I'll let,
wow.
Yeah, this is great, right, Pee Wee. And I always love when people get right, you know, they can feel from themselves something out of it. So we've had, you know, everybody really expressing kind of, you know, about Frida, but he felt this painting. And I think I believe was writing, you know, towards his own feelings that it dug up. So I thought that was really great. Luyu, what are your thoughts?
You know, to me, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
You know, this was a very sad poem. If you look at that photograph, you can see the pain and agony and the thoughts, you know, what I liked was the limbs behind it. It kind of looks like fig tree limbs where, you know, figs are supposed to reproduce fruit constantly every year, you know, be vital and everything. And, you know, what I'm seeing here is that, you know, she sees death in her mind. You know, I can just imagine throughout her entire life, from her having polio, from her having one leg bigger than the other, for her trying to find ways to cover her legs up, and then people would make fun of her clothes. You know, what are you doing wearing long clothes and everything like this? You know, are you trying to hide? You know, well, yeah, you know, and, you know, and then the death of, you know, her life when she, you know, she felt like, she, you know, for me, this is my opinion. If I was her, I, you know, being impelled, then, you know, told I wasn't supposed to live, you know, I live, but I've got broken bones, but they tell me I cannot reproduce, you know, and like that fig tree, a woman's supposed to be something that you flourish and you embed and you impregnate. And, you know, and this was everything she couldn't do because when she started blooming and she started fruiting, each and every single one of her babies died. So I can imagine,
wow,
in her mind, there are so many different images of, you know, her children, and then, you know, her husband, you know, wasn't full, you know, couldn't keep his pants up. And then, you know, here it is, she's miscarriaging, and then you're sleeping with other women. How the death of a marriage, the death of her body, the death of her babies, it was just one cascading thing, one right behind the other. And, you know, you can't help but admire her.
Yeah, wow, great comment. That is true. I didn't notice about the fig trees, but this painting is very interesting. Again, for those following along, it's thinking about death, and it's her portrait with her with, you know, on her brain a circle thinking about death, but then around her is the fig trees, like you mentioned, Lou. It's you know, kind of life going, you know, renewing life. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
What I also like just about the poet in general is a lot of her painter, is she's in a lot of her paintings, which is not, you know, necessarily something that a lot of painters do. And to me, it's her kind of living her life and expressing herself through her paintings that she couldn't do in her life. So instead, she went into the paintings instead. And said the things or did the things that she couldn't necessarily do. And so I find that very interesting about this artist. Also, fantastic comment. I enjoyed it a lot. Very insightful. And we got a couple of minutes left, so we'll go with Gray, and then we can kind of wrap it up. Let's go ahead, Gray.
Yeah, you did a wonderful read on that, Daniel. But, you know, the poem itself is engaging, you know, throughout. It really pulls you along through this bright and turmoil of her life and, you know, what the poet gives, and, you know, as an artist. And, you know, a lifetime of words he had given and his life he took. Just a wonderful, powerful poem on the subject of life and painting and as an artist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. And Bobby, what we can do is probably wrap it up. We only have a couple minutes. We actually have a bunch of poems we didn't get to, believe it or not. So we're gonna be very busy 2 weeks from now, but that's okay. I hate to rush them. I'm glad we got to have really good conversation. If you want to give your thoughts and then kind of wrap us up, that
would
be great.
Yeah, I said the 2 hours evaporated. And thank you to Gray and to Luyu. For making that possible. Great commentary, great insight, great readings. I agree. It's amazing how she's surrounded by life, but her mind. It's great piece. I hope to see more from.
If everybody could. Just mute for a second, and Bobby can finish up. That'd be great. Thank you.
We've got our current active contest is, and I'm desperately rushing to it so I can read it. we have come on, Bobby. There we go. Abandoned properties and places, photographs by Roman Robreck. He is a he's an urban explorer. That's what they're called. And he has taken remarkable photographs of abandoned churches, factories, kitchens, auditoriums, classrooms. You name it, he's taken a picture of it. And these are all places that were abandoned. Now, here's the credo for urban explorers. You take nothing but pictures. You leave nothing but footprints. And so these folks go out there and find these places and immortalize them. They memorialize them with their photographs. So he's what's active right now. The next artist, who I'm going to post tomorrow, is Alejandro. Pasquale. And it's going to be it's very, very different. It's different from Frida as Mr. Robreck is from Frida. He's going to be as different from Mr. Robreck as Robreck is from Frida. Some he has combined his surrealist art with flowers. So you will not see people's faces. You will see representations of their faces with flowers. So I want to see what a kind of thought this draws out from our readers. So anyway, that's going to be posted tomorrow because I've got 99% done. I'm very excited. Thank you so much to everyone for their contributions for tonight. We'll finish that up in 2 weeks. How many do we have left?
Well, you know what's funny? We actually have 5 left, but looking at the contest you have that's going to close, but the next contest is closing in 3 hours, and only 11 entries, so it's going to work out. We'll be able to, really kind of spend some time on each one next time.
But what you don't know is Bobby's going to renew it.
Wow, Bobby, there you go.
Anyway, it'll sort itself out. We'll sort itself out. Thank you to everyone for your readings and your contributions. Thank you to folks for their comments on the different artists we're selecting. They seem to like the diversity. We're getting a lot of participation because of that. So bless your hearts and souls for diving in and sampling these new artists. So we're going to keep it coming. This is Mr. Robrick is our 10th artist, and so we're
wow.
As JFK used to say, we're going forth with great vigor. So anyway, thank you everyone for this evening. Thank you for your time, for your thoughts, and for your participation. And I'm going to say buona notte a tutti.
Good night, everybody. Take care.
Buona notte. Good night, everybody. Much love.